Thank you for viewing Big Tobacco and the Big Apple. I know we've covered a lot of ground, and I only wish we could have told some other stories. One in particular deserves mention, Dr. Charles Pease, who was known as the male counterpart of Carrie Nation. He fought against smoking. He created the Non-Smokers Protective League and did succeed in 1909 in getting smoking banned on the New York City subways. The problem was he seemed to fight against a lot of other things as well, such as meat, vaccination, and ice cream sodas. Indeed, the Bloomberg administration's anti-smoking activism led the New York Times on September 17th, 2011, to recall that there was an earlier effort by a mayor of New York, actually a director general, William Kieft, in 1639 to ban pipe smoking. This in turn led to a protest, perhaps the first smoke-in, but it's not clear whether the protest actually occurred. Various protests did occur under the Bloomberg administration, such as ads placed by the Empire State Distributors and Wholesalers Association in the New York Post and other newspapers protesting the new cigarette tax increase. And a group called Clash attempted to boycott places that enforce the smoking ban in public places. Ironically, Altria, makers of Marlboro, and Bloomberg Philanthropies got together to co-sponsor MoMA at El Museo, an exhibition at the El Museo del Barrio in New York City in 2004. Perhaps a surprising recipient of tobacco industry largesse was the American Civil Liberties Union, which became an ardent defender of Philip Morris and other cigarette companies in defending their right to advertise and to smoke in public places. But in 1990, Philip Morris did incur the wrath of another group, ACT UP, which protested at the Whitney Museum at Philip Morris about Philip Morris's support of homophobic U.S. Senator Jesse Helms. They distributed brochures that said, "Welcome to the Whitney Museum Cancer Branch." But what about the company today? Philip Morris has turned a new leaf, it says. It now vows to give up smoking entirely. That is, it's turning its attention to selling electronic cigarettes. And it wants a smoke-free world. At least that's what it's been advertising in different countries in Europe and Asia. If everyone would just switch from Marlboro to the company's electronic cigarette product, IQOS, I Quit Ordinary Smoking, then we'd all live happily ever after. We'd be hooked on nicotine in a perhaps safer form. Although New York City is no longer the global headquarters of the tobacco industry, Philip Morris International is still located in New York City and holds its annual shareholders meeting there. The company has absorbed United States Tobacco Company, makers of smokeless tobacco products. Meanwhile, Lorillard and American Tobacco have long since been absorbed into a giant company, Reynolds American, a wholly owned subsidiary of British American Tobacco, headquartered in North Carolina. And though the madmen of Madison Avenue, competing for the leading cigarette advertising accounts, are largely a thing of the past, their successors are still trying hard to maintain a good guy image for the American tobacco industry. Buyer beware.